the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by the Alabama Department of Public Health. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Protect yourself and others against COVID and flu. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM. Here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
His career lasted over 40 years on the collegiate level and the NFL. The last 16 years, JoJo Petroni worked for Auburn Athletics. At the end of February, Petroni stepped down as Auburn's Associate Athletic Director for Sports Medicine. He picked up his name from his favorite player on the Boston Celtics, JoJo White. JoJo Petroni is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health.
Welcome to the Talking Tigers podcast. Very glad to have with us, but also sad that we have our guest with us today in JoJo Petroni. Longtime sports trainer, sports medicine, has retired. As this airs, has already retired from Auburn. When I read it, I immediately walked down to your office and I said, what are you doing? Glad to have you with us today.
Great to be here.
How many years for you now, total, in sports medicine?
Total, 41 years.
Was it always sports medicine for you?
From the get-go. I got hurt in high school, and we were blessed to be across the street from Vanderbilt University, and my dad knew the athletic trainer, athletic student trainer's dad, and they brought me over to look at my back, and I got to go over there a few days and fell in love with athletic training, sports medicine, seeing the athletes come in there, seeing the athletic trainers have conversations and banter back and forth, and I said, that's what I want to do.
So that was the moment, that was the spark for
that
you.
That was the spark.
Your injury.
Yep, my bad back. All 5'8" and 112 pounds.
An imposing force, I'm sure.
Well, I could shoot the three. Back in the day, they didn't have the three, though.
All right, how many years for you at Auburn?
16 and a half.
Okay. Well, give us the timeline, then, from that moment, that spark on the Vanderbilt campus, to the time in college. And it's a long and winding road for JoJo Petroni.
It is. 1980, I graduated from Vanderbilt, spent 4 years as a student athletic trainer there, worked all the sports. I mean, we weren't blessed with the staff that we have here at Auburn Athletics. I did swimming and diving, men's basketball, baseball, football, women's basketball. And after that, I moved on to Kentucky to be a graduate assistant in athletic training. There's no curriculum. So before you go there, you take your NATA certification exam, passed that, got the position for football. And one of the student athletic trainers while I was at Kentucky didn't do well in school, so I got moved to basketball. So Big Blue Nation and Joe B. Hall and incredible group of athletes there I got to work with. It was a good time, but I only spent a year and a half there, didn't finish my master's. Ole Miss came calling. I was 22 and was going to be a head basketball trainer in the SEC, so I didn't say no. And got there and worked for Bob Wetlick 1 year. Leroy Mullins was the head athletic trainer, and he handled football, and I handled the rest. I was young, energetic, and loved to work with student athletes. Spent 6 years there, Andy. Went to a couple bowl games, which you never did at Vanderbilt or Kentucky back in the day. Mm-hmm. But moved on to the NFL. Did a couple of summer internships back in 79 and 80 with the New York Jets. And Bob Reese and Pepper Burst were the athletic trainers there. My dad knew Bob's dad, and they played golf together. So I got lucky and got moved up the ladder of summer help. Left an impression with Bob and Pepper. While I was with the Jets, I interviewed at Arizona State for a baseball job and met Chris Smith, who was the assistant football athletic trainer there, physical therapist. And we bonded pretty good on that interview. And Ray Perkins hired him a few years later, and he was at Alabama, and I was at Ole Miss, and we got to talking, and Ray got the job with Tampa Bay, so Chris wanted to hire me to move to Tampa Bay, so I spent 6.5 years at Ole Miss, and then 10 years in the NFL with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Your 16 and a half years at Auburn, is that your longest tenure?
Longest tenure at any place. Yeah. Did stay 17 years in Tampa, worked 7 years for a physical therapy clinic there. MTSU had an opening for the head football athletic trainer, director of sports medicine. My old high school coach, Boots Donnelly, was the AD. So I called him and he says, well, we've got four or five we're going to interview. And I said, okay. And he goes, why would you want to get back in? And I said, well, I never want to get out of it. I said, why are you still in it? And they interviewed everybody and they didn't like them. So he called me up and I interviewed and got to move back towards my home in Nashville, Tennessee. And my mom said I visited more when I was away than when I was 45 minutes away. And spent 7 years there before I came to Auburn in 2008. Through some basketball alumni at Ole Miss, Alice and I met through those alumnus, Peggy and Gene Brown. Took us about a year and a half to get together to actually. They said they have somebody, told her they had somebody, but she's a special woman.
Good voice, too.
Yeah, she can sing. She's got songbird voice. She's sang national anthems in many venues. Tampa-based old Buccaneer Stadium, the Big Sombrero. She sang the national anthem here at Barrett Eaves for the gymnastics team. She's the talent of the family.
How much in your profession, obviously you have to have the talent for it. That goes without saying. How much of it, though, is people?
Yeah, it's 100% people. My dad had a full athletic scholarship to Austin Peay to play tennis and basketball. His dad got ill, and he left after 1 year, came home, helped him with his business, and dad became a salesman after that. There's seven of us. I have a brother, Mickey, who passed away during COVID. I have sister Patty, who played basketball at Tennessee before it was Pat Head, and Maria, Mary Jo, Nina, and Mel. So dad had a large family to take care of, and he was a salesman, and I used to go on calls with him, and I saw how he interacted with people. And he made sure he made them first. He put them before himself, and that's why he's so successful.
What did he sell?
He was a liquor salesman. And he led the nation out of a small town in Donelson, Tennessee. He worked for Lippman Brothers in Nashville, but he sold the most Bacardi and Jack Daniels in a 3 or 4 year period for that company. And he would always get a free trip and take mom with him. And to be the leading salesman of Jack Daniels and Bacardi in the United States of America, you could talk to people. So he had mouths to feed and was important. And, he made you look people in the eye and firm handshake, and that goes a long way with the yes sir, no sirs. Yeah. It's a lost art today.
Was there ever any pressure to go into the family business?
No, he just wanted us to get an education, get a degree.
Did your father have a degree?
No, he did not. Mom did not either. She had a degree in raising children.
Sure.
She did real well. We all are doing well as a family. We don't go without.
Were you the first college graduate in your family?
No, Patty and Maria were, but I was the first college graduate with a master's degree in my family.
You mentioned the interaction with the student athletes and the coaches as one of the sparks for you. What about the medicine part for you?
I think it was intriguing to see you could help people. My dad always said I should have gone to medical school, and I said, no, Dad, I thrive in this environment. I get to see people, play at the highest level. We used to watch, you had three channels back in the day, and we'd watch, the NFL game of the week, Major League Baseball, which would be the Cardinals or the Braves in our area, or NBA. And I was raised on the Boston Celtics and Bob Cousy and JoJo White, and that's how I got the nickname JoJo.
It is.
Yes. I fell in love with the way he played. I wore number 10 just like him. Didn't play as well as him, but in an Italian family, you get a lot of nicknames, and they call me Giuseppe, Jody, Josephus, Joseph. A few other choice words when you got in trouble before the word Joseph, but...
All right. What did Mom call you when she wanted to get your attention?
She used a four-letter word in front of Joseph. Started with a D.
Okay.
It's part of our chant here at Auburn. Ward Dang Eagle. But the medicine aspect, seeing how the body works intrigued me. How you could help somebody get well and continue to compete. I had a lot of mentors growing up. Started out with Jack Gregorin and Joe Warden. I'm going up to Nashville this weekend to sit at Joe Warden's table. He's a trainer emeritus at Vanderbilt for basketball. He's going into the Hall of Fame. And they, you know, they called some of the old guys to come back and sit at his table and honor him. Some baseball coaches that knew that I had a knack for getting people well. Summer league teams, Jack Lavender in Nashville. Travel ball, you know, they call me Dr. J. And I'd have a kit that Vanderbilt let me use, and I'd travel with a travel team, and I've seen a lot of great baseball players that ended up in the SEC that played on that team.
War Eagle, it's a great day for Auburn Tigers to get vaccinated. Many children and adults that delayed vaccinations during the pandemic are still behind schedule. It's crucial that we take steps to get everyone back on track with their routine immunizations. Children and teens can still catch up on their vaccinations even if they start late. Make sure you and your family are all up to date on all recommended vaccines, including COVID-19 and flu. Let's all do our part to get back on track. Don't wait. Vaccinate. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM.
That day that you went to Vanderbilt so they could work on your back when you were a kid, could you have ever dreamed what your career would be at that point?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, I had aunts that were teachers, and, you know, they pushed us that way to get an education degree and be a teacher. I was K-12 certified to teach health and physical education. I was proud of that diploma and that degree, but I never had to fall back on it. Just the sheer enjoyment of investing in people is a pleasure enough for me to make a difference. You know, a lot of people are inducted into Hall of Fames and get rings and jackets and such. My Hall of Fame's the 100,000 plus athletes I've worked with from high school to junior college to the NFL and major college. They come back. I've got one athlete text me on Father's Day, Easter, and Christmas every year. That's the reward.
I would think that's got to be the most gratifying part of the work that you have done in over 40 years.
Oh, when they see you or call you or hug your neck, when they do see you and say thank you.
Yeah.
At the time, they call me Sarge. You know, you have to be firm and teach them accountability and respect, but also the fact that you go to the nth degree for them, and when they see that, they appreciate and love you to death for it. Sometimes they don't see it on the front end, they see it on the back end, but it's a great reward to help mold young men and women and give them an opportunity that I never had.
I've known JoJo since the time he came to Auburn and the people that you've worked with at Auburn. What did you come to Auburn? What was the initial position at Auburn?
The initial position was director of sports medicine.
Okay.
I was playing golf in Murfreesboro on a beautiful sunny day and never thought I'd get a call from an alumnus and an actual athletic trainer that was an intern for me that I never know what kind of impact I made on him, but he thought that I could make a difference for them. The alumni was Skeeter Schuessler, who's in charge of Gatorade. Hmm. And Skeeter called me and says, hey, Auburn needs somebody like you. And I said, I'm happy here. I'm doing well here. He goes, no, you can make a difference there, and I'm proud of Auburn University and the athletic department, and I'm telling you, you need to apply. And John Michelini, who is currently the women's basketball athletic trainer at Florida now, associate director for sports medicine, was an intern for me at the sports medicine clinic I worked at in Tampa. He called me and says, hey, we need you. I said, John, I'm happy here. He goes, no, we need somebody like you. So it intrigued me, so I applied and got the call from Meredith Jenkins to come down and interview. But you never know who you're working with in the business. And when I told Coach Stockstill at MTSU I was going to interview, and he goes, you need to go see Coach Heron. Well, Coach Heron just happened to play high school football with Jay Googe and dated Jay Googe's wife in high school. And Les's ex-wife's husband sat on the board, Mr. Blackwell. So he says, I'm going to call those people for you. And he did, and I, you know, Meredith Collins says we like to set up an interview. And when I walk into Jay Jacobs' office, the first words out of his mouth were, "You got some heavy hitters here." And I was about to say something. He goes, "Don't apologize. That's a testament that right. people will put their name on your head and vouch for you, and that's important." And I said, "Well, I'm just blessed that, you know, I've made a difference at those places, and people have seen that." So,
what did the director of sports medicine mean for you then, and what does it now?
Then it was a chance to get away from football, the long, long hours. I loved doing it, loved game day, loved taping ankles and stretching and being a CEO, as Butch Thompson would put it, chief energy officer. But being a director, I was able to communicate and make a difference between the coach and the athletic trainer, and a difference between the student athlete and the athletic trainer and the coach, to let them all know we're going to be on the same page to get the same end result. Some coaches want it quicker than others, but I had that knack to convince them that we're going to get it done and do it well. That's what I wanted to do, so that's why I came to Auburn, to be able to do that. Now, the profession has gotten a little bit tougher on younger athletic trainers.
How so?
The hours, the demand, the stress. You learn how to be an athletic trainer curriculum. You don't get to do all these other things that I had to do. Sophomore year at Vanderbilt, I had to travel with the football team, JV team, to Sweetwater, Tennessee, and play Tennessee Military Academy. We get loaded up. I get there. They've got an old van with a bubble on it, and they call it an ambulance in that small town. Kid goes down, breaks his arm. I go out there. The ambulance comes out there, and being able to learn from my mentor, Jack Redgren, how to handle that compared to a paramedic at that time, you know, I didn't know I knew a little bit more than them. And in a classroom, it's hard to see all the stress and the involvement of what you have to do in an injury situation because they're teaching it out of a book. Now it's book sense. They're trying to teach them in 2 years and not 6 years to be an athletic trainer, and they get overwhelmed quickly. And the hours and the salary, you know, pushes them away to industrial jobs and working for companies like PepsiCo or Amazon, showing, they call them health advisors or sort of like plant manager as far as health and safety situations, to teach them how to lift, not to jump off trucks, right, to take the proper steps. There's not the stress because they don't get the personal investment that we get. So you take that home. The old grizzled veterans and the people that have gone through a four-year program, it means more to them. They're well equipped to tackle the issues.
You have kept your head in the game, though, too. I don't know how many times I've seen you walk down the hall. Hell, I'm heading to swimming, heading to gymnastics, heading to baseball, heading to softball. I mean, you've had, I'm going to put it this way, you've had the opportunity to remain as that athletic trainer and not just in the management style.
I've never shied away from it. I want the athletic training staff that we have as a group or as a team. It's never been mine. It's ours to know that I got their back and I can pitch in. This day and age with paternity and maternity leave, you're going to have to be willing to do that to keep solid people here. And again, I'm investing in student athletes. I'm going to invest in our staff too. And that's given me the ability to, I think I covered baseball for 5 or 6 semesters since I've been here, swimming and diving for 2. Never knew how the current athletic trainer now, Thomas DeSimone, came from Wyoming, but Nate Warner, our volleyball athletic trainer, did it for 10 years and never really realized what it entailed for one person in a GA. And after that first practice, turn around at the Coliseum Athletic Training Room, and every table and floor spot and taping station had somebody on. It was like 30 people, and I'm going, just give me some time, I'll be with you. But working gymnastics because of maternity leave, women's basketball with Coach Flo, you know, filled in for Clark with Bruce during COVID. I like it. The kids are great. Kids accept me. They call me boss man, and they know I'm going to, you know, go to the nth degree. I might not have the same personalities as their athletic trainers, but I tell them I'm going to be jovial and happy to be here. And when they get back, they're going to operate the way they need to operate for y'all. And that's not a mark against them, but I'm going to be the happy uncle when I fill in because that's going to help me get through the long day.
I know of three different stories of athletic trainers at Auburn that have saved someone's life.
Correct.
I know of two most recently. The first I remember was Amy David, who back in 1996-97, we were on a women's basketball trip in Orlando, Florida, and someone in the lobby of the hotel fell. Not fell, but had, I guess, a heart episode, and she revived that man. There have been other stories of athletic trainers, thankfully, that were at places where it wasn't necessarily there for a ball game, but they were there and they helped save lives. And I'm sure there are more of those stories that I'm not aware of.
They're in the right place at the right time because the good Lord chose to put them there. Marie Seiler, who's the director at Missouri now for sports medicine, covers softball there, saved an Alabama fan's life at a volleyball game here. If she wasn't available with an AED and the knowledge that athletic trainers have to have, that person wouldn't have lived. Mm. Anthony Sanderson saved Les on our grounds crew.
Right.
And the grounds crew initiated the emergency action plan to a T, saved his life. And then most recently, Laura Furman, who was our softball trainer, and Noah Tanner, one of our student workers, because they don't call them student athletic trainers anymore, they're student workers because can't go to the curriculum until you're a graduate student, saved one of the baggage handlers or managers at the airport in Fayetteville, Arkansas. You know, it's special when they do that. I'd like to think we're the heartbeat of the team that we're working with. Spend a lot of time, average 12 to 14 hours a day, providing health care for student athletes, psychological care some days, and then some days just there to talk with them and have fun.
Tune in for part two of our interview next Monday. For JoJo Petroni and the Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. Oh, Regal.